Please turn to Philippians chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 2 to 9, but we'll be particularly considering verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. So we have come to paper and exam season. And I've heard it said by at least one of you, and it has happened to me as well, that you come to this time in the semester and you feel that you have so much to do. And oftentimes my wife has said to me, you have gotten it done in the past. Why would you believe that God would not be faithful again? Perhaps your wives have said that to you as well. But nonetheless, we have these things which seem to us uncertain. We have a mountain of work. How will we get it done? Seminary is a time where finances are often strained, where we don't always know where the next bit of money will come from, because perhaps we've left jobs or our present employment is unstable. In many ways, we have around us all sorts of uncertain things which lead to anxieties, small anxieties and large anxieties. But each one of us has certain uncertainties in our lives. And this leads us to an unsettledness, a feeling of worry, of not knowing what the outcome will be and being tied up inside of ourselves because of this. And the verses here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, provide for us a challenge in the midst of that worry, sometimes daily worry. And when it says anxiety, I don't think it's necessarily talking about an anxiety disorder, but simply the everyday run-of-the-mill worry that we experience. But you notice it also provides for us a way out and a way through anxiety. It provides hope in a tool for anxiety and in the promise of the peace of God. And so my proposition this morning is simply that God's word forbids anxiety and provides a remedy. God's word forbids anxiety and provides a remedy. And I want to open that up in three simple points: a command, a tool, and a promise. A command, a tool, and a promise. The command is simply, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, bring your requests to God. And we'll get to that specifically in just a moment. But before doing that, I want to lay the background for this command in the book of Philippians. You remember that this is a book which flows out of and is really saturated by the friendship that Paul has with this Philippian church. And after his normal greeting and then a prayer for these Philippians, Paul goes on to give them a report of his situation. Because you remember, there was a certain uncertainty to his situation. Would he live or would he die? He was in prison. And the Philippians were concerned about their beloved father in the faith. And then Paul goes on. And in the end of chapter 1, he exhorts these Philippians to lives worthy of the gospel, lives of faithfulness and holiness in the midst of a society which was hostile, in the midst of a society which they were out of step with. You'll remember that Philippians was a Roman colony, and in many ways was more Roman than Rome, as one commentary I read put it, because it was just like converts are often more zealous than those who have been born into a faith. And here they were, some of them perhaps former army veterans, living in a place where Caesar was Lord and Savior. And yet, they now were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ alone was Lord and Savior. Here they were in a place where perhaps their friends and family could not understand why they would not participate in these patriotic things like the imperial cult. Perhaps they were in situations where their livelihoods were being threatened because of their trade guild and in the connection with the imperial cult in that. They were under pressure. They were in the midst of uncertainty because of the hostility of the society around them. And in the midst of that, Paul exhorts them to lives of holiness and lives of unity as we move into chapter 2. And then he presents for them not only the example of Christ, but also of Timothy and Epaphroditus, and then his own example, examples of humility and of faithful service to God and his gospel. And then finally, as we come on to chapter 4, Paul is closing out the letter, and he is doing it with certain commands which really incorporate several of the themes of Philippians. He exhorts Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind, to have that unity which was so preeminently which he exhorted them to have in chapter 2. And then he exhorts them to rejoice in the Lord always and let their gentleness be known to all men. But then, in the midst of their uncertainties and perhaps anxieties for their beloved father in the faith, amidst their anxieties in the midst of being under pressure in their culture, he exhorts them to be anxious for nothing. Now, I probably don't need to say that we have a whole lot of similarities with their situation. As we heard yesterday, we are in a situation out of step in many ways with our culture, under pressure to some extent, sometimes economically. You think of the Lord's Day and our need sometimes to say no to certain jobs because of the requirement to work on the Lord's Day, and in many other ways. And so to us as well, there is this command, be anxious for nothing. And notice, it is an absolute command. It is not a command that says, do not let anxiety be the general way in which you live. But it is rather, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for not one thing. Be anxious in regard to nothing. But there's not only a negative aspect to this command, there's also a positive aspect. In everything, we are to make our requests known to our God. And isn't this wonderful, brothers? So often, when we are tied up with anxiety, our whole horizon is filled with that uncertainty, with the thing which is causing us to worry. And yet here, the apostle gives us something to do, a way to unburden ourselves of that thing which fills up our horizon. He says, don't just stick around in the mire of your worry. No, take your request to your Father in heaven. Cast your cares on him, as the Apostle Peter says, for he cares for you. And likewise, this is absolute. It is in everything. There is no situation which is exempted. And we take it to our God, the one who has created this earth. Is your uncertainty, is your anxiety because of some created thing? Well, God's created everything. Can he not address that? He is the one sustaining this earth, and he will sustain you and all that is necessary for you to do that which he has called you to do as long as he sees fit. And he is the ruler and judge of this earth. There is no one, no thing that is outside of his control. You may not understand it. You may not have it in your control. And therefore it might be causing you a great deal of worry and anxiety. But it's not out of the control of our God, our Father. Therefore, bring these things to him. When in human affairs, when we have a certain concern, and yet we know the one who has the power to take care of it. You think of maybe someone who has the ear of the President of the United States. He doesn't just sit around and do nothing about it. He goes to him. He's got the power to do something about it. Brothers, we have access to God Almighty. Let us bring our requests to him. And you'll notice that the shape of this command is one which is a shape of faith. Anxiety, one of the most heinous things about anxiety is that it chokes faith. You think of a rose bush, a beautiful flower, and yet surrounded by thorns whose roots go down and entwine themselves around the roots of that rose bush until all the nutrients is sucked out and you no longer have that beautiful rose. Well, anxiety is similar in our lives in regard to our faith. Matthew, when he's talking about the parable of the sower, he talks about the seed which fell among thorns, and the cares of this world choked it out. But bringing our request to God builds our faith, brothers. Doing it when it's hard, doing it when we don't see the end in sight, this increases in us the faith in the one who is in control of every last thing. Therefore, we can be anxious for nothing, but in everything bring our requests to our God. So really, this is a command to put to death our anxiety and to look in faith to our God. But there's not only the command, there's also a tool. And we see here it says, by prayer and by supplication. And this is just a way of repeating the same thing for emphasis, underlining it, taking a red highlighter and putting it all over it. Prayer is the tool. Prayer, think about it, brothers. Through prayer, we have access into the very presence of God Almighty. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, He has gone into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled His blood once for all time, and is now interceding for us. And through that, we have this access. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit is directing our prayers. This is a great and powerful weapon. It is one of the most powerful weapons in the arsenal of a Christian. And here we are exhorted to use it in relation to our anxiety. And we are exhorted to be specific. When it says, bring your requests, it is not just saying, have a general prayer to God. Oh God, I need help. No. Bring specific requests. And oftentimes that will not be difficult for us if we are in anxiety. But we are to bring these specific things before our God. We are to be bold. Again, overlap with what we heard yesterday. But it is to God Himself that we are exhorted to bring these things. And because He has told us, we can do so with great confidence. Just like we sang, Jesus has bid us come to Him. Therefore, He will not say us nay. Be specific. Be bold. And it is in everything. As I said before, but think about this. On the one hand, there is nothing so serious that this is not the tool to be used. In the Weintraub household, we try, whenever we're worried about something, to just simply stop and pray. And sometimes in our flesh, it rises up and it's like, but this is so serious. We need something more, as it were. And how foolish is that, brothers? That we should need something more than access to our great God and Father. So on the one hand, there is nothing so serious, but there is nothing too mundane. This is all inclusive. Are you concerned about papers or the most mundane things of this life? This is included here. Use this tool. And it is to be a well-used tool. You think about some of your favorite books. Or perhaps think about your copy of the Confession and Catechisms. Is the binding a bit loose on it? Are there stains on the pages? Does it speak of the fact that you love this book because you have used it often? This is the way. When it says in everything, one of the implications, I believe, is that we are to make this a well-used tool. But as we do these things, we are not to forget thanksgiving. It is a tool prayer with thanksgiving. It's almost like a compass that, in the midst of a bewildering landscape, points us in the direction we should go. In the midst of the bewilderment of anxiety, thanksgiving reminds us what God has done for us. Thanksgiving reminds us who our God is. Thanksgiving fixes our minds on this, that it might build in us hope and a right understanding of our situations in light of the truths of God's word about our God. So use this tool of prayer, brothers. Do it in a timely way. When anxiety strikes, stop. Pray. Be persistent. Again, as we heard yesterday, but as applied to our anxiety. There is many exhortations in Scripture to this, of the neighbor, as we heard yesterday, of the widow who would not give that unjust judge any time to rest. And be persevering. There's no time limit here, but the word for bring a request, it's present. It's an ongoing activity. It's a present imperative. It's an ongoing thing. We are to persist. We are to be persevering in this, and we are to be thankful. We are to set aside, I think, particular times for thanksgiving in our prayer, that we do not neglect it. Not only do we have a command and a tool, but as we see the way out here, there is also a promise. This is a promise to the faithful use of that tool. Do you see that? It is a promise to the faithful use of prayer. And peace is really a concomitant of prayer. As we pray, bringing our request before God, as we pray with thanksgiving, our faith is being built. And God is working in us this peace which surpasses all understanding. And this peace flows from our union with Christ. You notice that it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is not just a general peace, but it is a peace specifically to those who have been united to Christ. And it is one of the many blessings that comes from that union. And then there are a number of things here which show us the immense goodness of God and His infinite wisdom in dealing with our anxiety. You notice that it is a peace from God. The source of this peace is God Himself. And therefore, it is not peace as the world gives, but it is the peace which is truly effective. A peace that is certain, because it is a peace from the one who rules not only the wind and the waves, but the entire universe. And it is a peace which addresses the core of our anxiety. So often, our anxiety comes from the fact that we do not fully understand the situation, or it's not fully under our control. And I think when it says that it is, surpasses our understanding, it's not so much that it's some magical thing that we cannot comprehend. But this peace which leads us to rest in our God and Father is better than understanding, because it does not cause us to look into ourselves in self-sufficiency, but rather to our God and His sufficiency. Whether or not the outward causes of that anxiety are dealt with in the particular way that we would want, we have been directed to our God, and in Him have found peace. And therefore, just in the thing that so often causes our anxiety, God has provided a perfect remedy in his peace. And it is a peace which guards us where anxiety takes hold of us. What causes anxiety, though? Is it not that we are turning over and over and over in our minds the things that we don't understand, the things that we wish were a different way, the things that are out of our control? Is it not our hearts that get so tied up and anxious about these things? Well, this is a peace which protects, which guards from that anxiety, because it builds our faith, because it directs us to our great God. So, brothers, we ought to seek this peace with diligence, as it is a promise promised to the use of prayer. And it ought to lead us to marvel at the goodness of God, at the wisdom of God, that he has given us a peace that is certain because it is from him. He has given us a peace which addresses the very core of our anxiety. He has given us a peace to guard us just exactly where these things take hold of us. Our God is a good God. Our God is a wise God. And we ought to glory in him and marvel that he has done these things. Now, as we come to our close, I want to think about some practical ways that this touches us. And the first is that we ought to condition our minds to think of anxiety as a particularly offensive sin to our God. He commands us, be anxious for nothing. And one of the reasons why it is so categorical, I think, is because this is a particularly offensive sin to our God. Those of you who are fathers, think about how it makes you feel when your children act as if you cannot provide for them. Those of you who are husbands, think about it when your wives act as if you cannot provide for them or would not want to. Does that not cut right at the heart of your everything as a husband, as a father? Well, so it is with our Heavenly Father. So it is with Christ, who is the great bridegroom of his church. When we are down in the mud of anxiety, it cuts right to his heart. That we would act as if the God of heaven and earth cannot, will not provide for his people. And therefore we must condition our minds to see this as not a light thing, but as a great and heavy thing. And as we see that, we ought to go to our great Redeemer who has provided. Yes, we cut right to his heart, but his blood has been spilt for us. And we ought to take, even as we ourselves are cut to the heart, we ought to take great hope in his salvation. We are to remember the words timely, persistent, persevering, and thankful. Use this tool of prayer right when anxiety grips you. Write lists that you might be persistent in your requests, that you might not forget about them. Write lists of your thanksgivings, that you might not forget them, and not forget to include that with your requests. And set aside time for particular thanksgiving. And know that God's word bids you come, and therefore you can with confidence persevere in this. Men, help your wives in this. Model for them going to our God in prayer. Point them as they come to you, as you see on their faces the anxieties which grip them. Point them to this great tool. Those of you who have children, so often children are all torn up about very small things, as it seems to us. But what a wonderful opportunity that is to pray with them and to teach them, to get them in the habit of knowing when I feel concerned, I run to my Heavenly Father. And then with your wives, with your children, in your own personal devotions, meditate on the attributes of God. He is the one who is almighty. He is the one who is perfectly wise. He is the one who is perfect, who there is no fault in. He is faithful. He is eternal. He knows the beginning from the end. Just as little children are often tied up about what seems to us to be very small and insignificant things. Although, and I don't mean to belittle our anxieties, but in comparison to the grandeur and greatness of our God, our anxieties are small. Meditate on His attributes, that you more and more may have that perspective. And finally, marvel in the goodness of God in providing so well for our anxiety. Right at its core, with peace that comes from He Himself. And in this way that points us to Him. Brothers, let us be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, in everything, bring our requests to God, till we see Him at last, face to face, till this shall no longer be necessary, because He shall have won, and He shall have gained the victory, and we shall be with Him, with all our anxieties wiped away. Let us pray. O Lord God, You are so good to us. We thank You that You have provided this precious tool for us. We ask Your forgiveness for not using it as well as we ought. May it be as a worn book to us. And we pray, guard our hearts and minds, as You Yourself promise, with a peace which surpasses understanding. We pray these things through our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.